Psalm 103, one more time this morning, okay? And we'll do our best to bring what the Lord hath laid upon our heart for today. Very simple, and yet I hope it'll be a blessing to you as we go through it together here this morning in Psalm 100 and verse number 103, and beginning in verse number 1. The psalmist David writes and said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, Amen. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now may the Lord bless that reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the precious blood of the Son of God. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for the cross that You died upon. Thank You, Lord, for giving Your life that we might be saved. Thank You, Father, for getting up out of the grave and ascending back to the right hand of God. Thank You for the privilege to be in church today, for the Word of God, the King James Bible. I pray that You will bless now every soul, every listening ear, and every heart that's with us today, those by the radio as well, those that are homesick and listening. I pray You'd bless and help them today, give them the grace that they need. I'm praying, Father, that You'll save sinners today. You're able. Your hand is not shortened that You cannot save, and Your ear is not heavy, Lord, that You cannot hear. You're still able to save. I pray You'll do that. Revive and stir up the hearts of Your people. Give us the power and the liberty and the unction that we need this morning to preach Your Word here in the house of God. And may a breath of heaven blow through this place and breathe upon us in an unusual way, to accomplish great things in the hearts of Your people and to bring glory to Your wonderful name. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You now. And you may be seated. All right. Brother David said there in verse number 4, he said, "Who redeemeth my life from destruction." Amen. Now, I want to try to preach a little while this morning. I hope God will help me. But I want to preach a little while this morning on that thought, on a thought, delivered from destruction. Amen. I'm glad that when the Lord redeemed us, He delivered us from destruction. Amen. Our life was headed for a spiritual destruction. It was headed for a timeless period in a place called hell in that lake of fire. And I'm so glad that the Lord loved us enough that He would die for us, that He might redeem our life from that destruction. Now, I want to mention again to you how precious, I mentioned before, I want to mention again how precious this psalm is to the saints of God. And it ought to be precious to you and I. The way it begins ought to be a trigger, something that sets off something in you and I that opens up our eyes and our mind and gets us, stimulates our thinking and our thoughts toward the psalm. When David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless His holy name." And then he said again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So the psalm is very precious, really, to the saints of God. And it reveals to us the blessing and the benefits of the Lord. And we also see there the obligation and the privilege that's ours to bless His name and to praise Him for the gracious salvation that God has bestowed upon us. And may I say that it is our obligation. I've heard a lot of preachers preach on things that we're obligated to do as a child of God. For instance, I've heard people talk about how obligated we are to soul winning. I'm not against that. I think the gospel ought to be propagated. I think everybody ought to be told about Christ. I've told how we ought to be obligated to this and obligated to that. But, you know, we ought to be obligated to pleasing the Lord. And it's hard to please God without being obedient to His Word. And the Bible is very clear that we are to bless Him for what He's done on our behalf. He's blessed us. I mean, He has redeemed us, our life from destruction. And therefore, we are to bless the Lord with our soul, oh my soul, and with all that is within me, our entire being. We are to bless His holy and His wonderful name. And so we need to bless Him for the great salvation that He's provided for us. Now, in these verses, we find at least six of these benefits that verse number 2 speaks of. And if the Lord that will give me the wisdom and the grace, and He'll have to give me the wisdom. I'm going to be honest with you. He healeth, there in verse number 3, who healeth all our diseases. I'm having some problems with that, but I intend to preach on it by the grace of God. Because it's in the Bible and it's real, so I want to preach on it. And I intend to preach on all six of them, maybe not in the order that we find them here in these verses, but I certainly do want to preach on them. But today I want to look at verse number 4 on how the Lord redeems our life from destruction. How the Lord redeems our life from destruction. May I say to begin with, He redeems us from destruction because we have been purchased. God bought us. We're not our own. We have been bought with a price. And that's exactly what the word redeem means. It means to buy back out of the slave market of sin. You see, at one time, man was innocent and lived in the garden. Adam and Eve lived in the garden in a state of innocence, but they sinned against God. And the Lord had to redeem fallen man. That is, He had to buy us back out of the slave market of sin. In fact, He owns us twice. He owns us by creation once, and He owns us by salvation the second time. And so I'm glad God has bought me out of the slave market of sin. I couldn't buy myself. I was broke. Every Christian is broke and bankrupt and in this world without anything whatsoever to redeem themselves. No man can redeem his own soul. The Bible said, "For precious in the sight of the Lord is the redemption of the soul of man." And no man can redeem his own soul. But I'm glad when we couldn't, the Lord took our place, stepped in, and purchased us when we were broke. Just like that old boy down in the hog pen in Luke 15. We were broke. We had absolutely no way to buy ourselves out of sin. We couldn't get good enough to get out of sin. We couldn't pray enough to get out of sin. But I'm glad that the Lord purchased us out of the slave market of sin. That's what the word redeem means. Now listen to what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. The Bible said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Now I'm going to tell you something. When we get self-willed and begin to do what we want to do rather than what God wants to do, I'm going to tell you we're headed for trouble. Somebody said, why? Because we're not our own. We have been bought, ladies and gentlemen, with a price. And God owns us. God owns us. And because God owns us, come on now, God has the privilege and the authority and the right to do with you and I what He wants to do. It's just like He told Peter in John 21, I believe, when He called him aside and talked to him about him denying the Lord three times and explained some things to Peter and how Peter was going to die. Peter turned and looked and saw John and said, "And what about this man?" And the Lord said, "Hey," in so many words, He said, "What is it to you what I do with this man? You better learn to take care of yourself." I won't say it's God's business what God does with each one of us. He may try one of us by putting us through the fire of affliction. He may put us, give us a disease or a bodily affliction or this or that. He may make some folks poor and others rich, but it's God's way and God's will, and God will do as He chooses, because He owns you and I. We've been bought with a price, is what the Bible said. He said you've been bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I won't say too much about that, because I want to touch on it again here in a minute. But He said, glorify God both in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we've got a crowd today that thinks the only way, you know, the only thing we need to do is live right on the inside. You know, the outside doesn't have anything to do with it. We can dress the way we want to. Come on now. We can live in the world the way we want to, but I'm telling you, that's not so. That is not so. We can dress the way we want to, but I'm telling you, that is not so. Are you listening? Hey, we ought to glorify God in our body as well as in our spirit. I've had people to call me on the phone and say, Brother Hall, I won't be there today, but I will be there in spirit. That's a lie. If you ain't going to be in church in your body, you ain't going to be there in your spirit. Now, then I don't want your spirit here without your body. Say amen right there. Your spirit have a hard time singing in the house of God. It's your body that does the singing. Now, it's your body, amen, that sits in that pew that I'm preaching at this morning. But I'm hoping that it'll get through that body into your soul. Somebody say amen right there. But we need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit both, which are God's. And we do that by keeping clean in and out for the glory and honor of God. Now somebody say amen right there. Now I want to get to a last point really on this. Well, I only got about five. I want to get to that last point. But our life has been redeemed from destruction because we have been purchased. And then we have been redeemed by person. Thank God, I'm glad we've been redeemed by person. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world to redeem sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And He came into this world to purchase you and I from sin. We were in bondage to sin, and He came into this world to purchase us, to buy us back from that sin. I think of a wonderful story, and I want to tell you about it. I'll take a few minutes here that I think illustrates what I'm preaching on right now, as well as any story that I know in the Word of God. There is in the book of Ruth a story. It's a story about a man and his family. A man by the name of Elimelech, and he had a wife by the name of Naomi. And the Bible said that there was a great famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And because of that famine, they went to sojourn down in the land of Moab. That is, they just went to stay for a little while. But the Bible said, and they continued there. Now, I won't say you better be careful getting away from Bethlehem. Amen. When a famine rolls around, you better hang with God and hang with the house of God when a famine rolls around. Somebody said, preacher, we're living in hard times. There's not much going on in the church. Not seeing many people saved. There's not much power there. But I'm telling you, better hang with God rather than going to Moab. Somebody said, I'll just stay down there a little while. That's what Elimelech and Naomi thought. But after they got there, they didn't just sojourn there. They continued there for a long time. And I'm going to tell you something. Moab will cost you something, ladies and gentlemen. Moab will always cost you something. And there in the land of Moab, Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech. He died. She had two sons, one by the name of Mahlon, one by the name of Chilion. They married two ladies in Moab. One by the name of Orpah and the other by the name of Ruth. And the Bible said that Chilion and Mahlon died, both of them died also. And so Naomi heard there was bread in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And so she begins, she's going to go back to her home, back to her family, back to her people. And her daughters begin to go with her. And she says, no, my daughter, but stay here in the land of Moab. She said, there's no more men in my womb. I can't get married. I cannot give you another husband. And so Orpah kissed her and went back to her gods and to her people. But I'm telling you, the Bible said that Ruth clave unto her and would not. She said, hey, I'm staying with you, and nothing but death will part you and I. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the way it is with a man and his wife. Nothing but death ought to part them. Now I'm going to tell you what, they ought to nothing be able to part you and I from the Lord either. Hallelujah to God. Say amen right there. Amen. And so Ruth and Naomi head back to the land of Bethlehem. They get there, it's in the time of barley harvest. And Ruth goes out to begin to glean in the field. And it just so happens that her portion landed on the field by the name of a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz in the Bible is what we call a kinsman redeemer. He was the next of kin. Somebody said, where are you going? I'll show you where I'm going in just a minute. He was the next of kin unto Naomi. And so he comes to the field and sees little Ruth gleaning in that field and instructs her to go to nobody else's field. So she gleans there in that field. And then it comes time to thrash that barley. And Boaz is down at the threshing floor. Naomi gives her instructions to go down to the threshing floor, let her clean herself, anoint herself, go to the threshing floor, and there Boaz will tell her what to do. So she eases into that place at night, crawls down, lays down by his feet, and covers herself up. But he wakes up, Boaz awakes about midnight, and there's a woman in the threshing floor. And he asks who it is, and he said, it's Ruth, the Moabitess, thy maiden. And he tells her, said, just lay down and be quiet, and I'll tell you in the morning what I'm going to do. So she laid down at his feet. Come morning, he sent her on her way. And what it was, he had to redeem her. Come on, stay with me now, stay with me. So Boaz went out and sat down by the gate of the city and called the elders of the city to come and sat down beside him. I'm going somewhere. Don't nobody leave me. And those elders sat down because there was a kinsman, a closer kinsman than Boaz. And he asked that man, he said, hey, said Naomi is back from Moab. I'm going to redeem her. I'm going to buy her land that you have, but you're closer than I am and a closer kinsman than I am. And so it's up to you if you want to buy her. And the man said, I'll buy her. I'll buy her and the land with it. And Boaz said, well, let it be known the day that you buy her and the land, you've got to buy everything also that belonged to Mahlon and Chilion. And you've got to buy Ruth the Moabitess. And the man said, I can't do that. It will mar my inheritance. Now I want you to listen carefully to Brother Hall. I believe that other man, that kinsman, is a type of the law. And the law is good. The Bible said the law is good. But there's no way that the law can redeem a soul. There's no way the law has any power to save. Thank God, all the law can do is condemn somebody. It doesn't have the power to save. But I'm thankful, thank God, that Jesus, our Boaz, by Him come grace and truth. Hallelujah. And it might be the law that condemns us, but Jesus has the power to redeem our life from destruction. And how many of us in here this morning could get up and testify and say that our life was headed for destruction, but there came a day when Jesus came by where we were out in the field in the world, thank God, passed by our way, and by the grace of God, He redeemed our life from destruction. Amen. You're looking at one old boy that is just about, his life was about destroyed. That's right. On the booze. And yeah, a little dope every now and then. carousing, cussing, running around. Thought I had her made, but I'm telling you, didn't have enough sense to realize that my life was headed for destruction. God have mercy on souls today that think that they're having a good time in this world, ain't got enough sense to realize that their life is headed for destruction. I'm going to tell you, hey, you can live a life in this world now that is absolutely not worth living. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm glad that I've got a life in this world that is worth living. But oh, I've got a life here to come that is everlasting. Hallelujah to God. Because I've been redeemed from destruction. Praise God. I'm not going to hell. I've been redeemed. My life has been redeemed from destruction. Because of my Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, that fellow says, I'm not going to redeem it. It would mar my inheritance. And Boaz said, well, he said, I'm going to redeem her. Now, I'm going somewhere. I want you to listen here. I'm talking about being purchased. I'm talking about being purchased. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. We're purchased by a person. Now notice what the Bible says in the very last verse, the last two verses of the book of Ruth, in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Boaz is speaking, and he said, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought, get this next word, all. A-double-L, I have bought all. That was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Somebody said, what are you saying, friend? What I'm saying is that when Boaz purchased the land of Naomi and Elimelech, he also purchased Ruth the Moabitess. And he purchased all that they had, everything that they had. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something. As a child of God, I don't want to cause you to have a heart attack. Some of you's getting ready to turn green. But I'm telling you right now, there's not one thing in this world that you own. Nothing in this world belongs to you. He said, I purchased all. I purchased everything that belongs to him. I'm telling you, everything in your life, everything in my life does not belong to you and it does not belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. And everything that we have in this life has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Amen and amen. Somebody said, I own a new house. You don't own jack squat. Well, I own a new car. You don't own a new car. It's God's. Everything we have is God's. Now, I'm going to tell you the problem today is, come on now, I'm getting ready to get meaner than a junkyard dog. Our problem today is we have never learned to use what God's given us to the glory of God. What God's given us, we ought to be willing to use and give back to Him to be used in His service. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Bunch of old gutter bum drunks. Now you're sitting in the house of God. Cleaned up and looking good. Family's getting along fairly well, I hope. How thankful we ought to be, no wonder. Amen. David said he redeemeth my soul from destruction. Therefore, Amen. Hey, bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. And with all that is within me, bless His holy name. Why? He's redeemed my life from destruction. Amen. He delivered me from destruction. Amen. I had nothing in this life and had nothing to look forward to but hell. But God turned me around. Like Paul on the road to Damascus, God divinely intervened and turned me around, hallelujah, and set my feet on that straight and narrow way. Amen, that leads unto life. The Lord said, enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that lead to life. And few there be that find it, but broad is the way that leads unto death, and many there be that go in thereat. So, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, hey, He's redeemed our life from destruction. That's His wonderful name. Amen and amen. Now, I said that to say this. Notice Boaz had to buy all that pertained to Naomi. Likewise, the Lord has purchased all that pertains to you and I. Ephesians 1, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, now listen carefully, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Get hold of these next words, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that. Under the praise of His glory. Now, come on in the house, all you Armenian friends out there. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Can I ask you a question? When is He going to redeem the purchased possession? Somebody said when we got saved. Well, He redeemed our soul.
That's right.
But I've got news for you. He didn't only redeem our soul. He redeemed our body as well.
Amen.
Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying when the Christ died on Calvary for our sins, He purchased the finished product. Oh, you Armenian friends, get a hold of that. He didn't just save half of us. Thank God He saved all of us. And if that verse in Ephesians don't give us some eternal security, I don't know what does. To the redemption of the purchased possession. That is, hey, that body has been paid for. But it may go in the grave. Amen. And I'm telling you, it may go in there and get corrupt, turn into corruption, but there's coming a day. Because Jesus has redeemed that purchased possession. All of us. Lock, stock, and barrel, buddy. That's why we are going to heaven. Oh, yes, and we're going glorified. In a brand new body. Amen. Won't it be wonderful? Person buys a brand new automobile, it smells good. Especially if it's leather, it smells like leather. You look around and you don't see a speck of dust, and you say, boy, I got a brand new car, and it ain't ever been out on the road and sitting in the showroom, ain't got a speck of dust on it nowhere. Boy, don't look good. I've got news for you. We're going to be cleaner than that, folks, when we get to glory on this old body of ours. Hallelujah. You better believe we are. There'll not be a speck of sin you can find anywhere. He has bought the purchased possession. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, I would to God that people could get a hold of that. Thank God my life was headed for destruction.
Amen.
My family was headed to the divorce court.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, in my own personal life, nothing but a dead dog rug didn't know from one day to the next where I might wake up at. But oh, there come a glorious day in my life on a Sunday morning. Thank God when Jesus passed by my way and lifted me out of the depths of sin and degradation and birthed me into the family of God. And on that morning, He purchased all of me. The purchase, redemption of that purchased possession. He owns it all. Thank God the finished product belongs to the Lord. Now, I didn't want to get too carried away on these first points. That's that last point I want to make this morning about David. I'm preaching about David. I'll stay right with me. I'll just be quick here. We've not only been purchased by a person, but we've been purchased by a price.
Amen.
It costs God something to buy you and me.
Oh, right.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Old Brother Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18-19, "For as much as you know, I hope you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood,"
amen,
"the precious blood of Christ,
amen,
as a lamb without blemish and without spot."
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, money couldn't buy our soul. No, sir, money couldn't buy it, ladies and gentlemen. We're not redeemed with corruptible things. Silver and gold, two of the most precious metals there is. But Peter said, your soul couldn't be bought with those precious metals. You had all the gold that could be manifest in the world, ladies and gentlemen, and piled it up in one pile. You couldn't buy your soul with that.
Amen.
It's like it said in the book of Song of Solomon, it would be utterly be contemned.
Amen.
You can't buy it. You can't buy it.
Amen.
But we've been paid for, purchased, not just by the blood, but the Bible said the precious blood.
Amen.
By the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you why you can't buy it. Hey, it is a gift.
Amen.
You don't buy a gift, somebody else does.
Yes.
And Christ bought our redemption. And He gave us the gift of faith. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, ain't that wonderful? Bless His wonderful name. Purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes that's hard to understand. Why God designed it in such a way. I've heard men say, why didn't God plan our salvation in some other way? I don't know. He's never told me why. He may when they get to heaven, but He certainly hadn't told us in that book.
Amen.
There's no other plan, no other way I know.
Amen.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And just look around you. He saved your life from destruction.
Amen.
How many of us sitting in here this morning, how many of us, at the very least, could be in prison?
Amen.
Could be in hell?
Amen.
Could be down at southern western states?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of places we could be in jail. But we're not. Thank God we're in the house of God this morning. Amen. I remember when my life was headed down that wrong way.
Amen.
I don't mean to sound ugly, but there's been ladies that's had abortion. There's been women that's had children out of wedlock.
Amen.
There's been adulterers,
right,
and adulteresses.
Amen.
And thieves. And whoremongers and fornicators. But I've got news for you. And such were some of you.
Amen.
But now you're washed. Amen. Now you're clean. Now you're justified.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God came in the world to save those sinners?
Amen.
To redeem their life from destruction. And boy, it was headed from destruction.
That's right.
God brought us back out of that mess. That's His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Now, I've got some things I want to say about David here in a minute. Just stay with me. I want to say, number three, we've been purchased by His power. I think about being purchased by His power. I think about being bought out of Egypt. When God brought them out of Egypt, the Bible said, here's what the Bible said in Deuteronomy, what Moses is saying as he looks back over what took place. He said, "And because He loved thy fathers, therefore, He chose their seed after them and brought thee out in His sight with His mighty power.
Yeah.
Out of Egypt to drive out nations before thee, greater and mightier than thee thou art, to bring thee in to their lands for an inheritance. And it is as it is this day. Know therefore this day that God, the Lord, He is God of heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. There is no other God. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Now I want to show you something. Three things there. He said the Lord brought you out with His mighty power. Hey, I'm glad we've been brought out. By His power, He brought us out of Egypt. Oh, I could stand and talk all day long on how His power was displayed in the land of Egypt, on the plagues that He brought upon that land. Someone in here, I don't know, might have been Brother Steve. It may have been, I believe it was Brother Steve, was talking about the other day about Moses and how that he was laid in the Nile River. And that's where that little maiden, that Pharaoh's daughter, went to bathe every day. And it was clean and nice. And it was a fertile, rich valley. But he said that they say now that that same area where Moses was laid out there is a place that is nasty and full of muck and mire and full of sin and ungodliness. Even the waters themselves are polluted down in that river basin there. Oh, yes, sir. Now listen. Somebody said, what are you saying? Friend, God brought us out of that. God brought us out of that pollution. God brought us out of that sin. God brought us out of that filth. God brought us out of that nastiness. But that ain't all. He not only brought us out, but I'm glad, thank God, that He brought us in. Wouldn't have done much good just to brought us out. But He brought us in also to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Now get a hold of this. But the land flowing with milk and honey was inhabited by somebody else. So the Bible said that they have been, that God drove them out. He brought us out, drove them out, brought us in. Now somebody said, preacher, where on earth are you going to? Well, all you got to do is look at your own heart. Amen. God brought us out of sin.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, when He saved us, everything was gone all at once. I don't know where you got that at, friend. God told Egypt, He said, I'm going to drive the inhabitants of the land out little by little. I'm going to tell you what He done. God brought us out, then God began. Brought us in, then God began to drive out little by little them sins of the heart, that ungodliness that dwells in the heart. Little by little, God began to drive her out, drive her out, drive her out, drive her out. And every time He would drive some of it out, He would let us occupy it. Could you get a hold of that? The more He drives out, the more we occupy. That's why I told Joshua, every foot of the earth, this ground that your feet stands on, shall be yours. And I'm going to tell you, it's up to you how much you want to occupy and how much you don't want to occupy. Friend, you can occupy it all if you want to. Amen. Somebody said, well, everybody's got to sin a little bit. Well, you don't have to.
Amen.
And let me clarify that. There's enough sin in there that you don't have to intentionally sin.
Right.
There's enough of it going to be there anyway.
Amen.
But oh, I'm telling you, when God brought them out of Egypt, He brought them into Canaan.
Amen.
And there was all of those Canaanites,
right,
and Hivites, and Hittites, and all those nations of that land.
Amen.
And God began to drive them out. Little took them 5 years to get most of them out, and the Canaanites, they never did get out. There's some things. Now, come on now. There's some things in our life that are going to be in our life that we're going to have to battle with. If God took all the battles away and all we had to do was lay back on our tail ends, I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't be worth a flip of a used booger. But God keeps us in the battle.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Bless His name. Thank God. Now, He brought us out by His power. Somebody said, is He able to? I said earlier, praying, God's hand's not shortened that He cannot save. God's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. God still has the power to save.
Amen.
Somebody said, you don't know where I've been, what all I've done. You probably ain't done no more than what I've done or been nowhere that I've not been, friend. Like that old songwriter said, I've been everywhere. Thank God. That's right. I've been everywhere. Done just about everything that can be done.
But
I'm here to tell you there is a God in heaven that's got power. That's got power beyond the power of man. Oh, and He can redeem. He's got the power to redeem the most sinful, the most ungodly that there is in this world. God's able to redeem them. Bring them out of sin. Amen. Bring them into the house of God. Oh, yes, sir. Set them on a pew. Thank God for that power. Then I'm going to say something. I hope this don't get none of you too bad off. Don't make you too mad. God purchased us and delivered us by His providence.
Amen.
Now that's where I want to get to in the psalm. I'm just now getting to the psalm. By providence. David said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. From David's earliest years, David was a real child of the providence of God.
Amen.
You can see that providence working all through his life. Many, many, many times, by a hair's breadth, David escaped.
Amen.
God gave him wonderful deliverance, which he experienced. And dangerous things,
Amen.
Various kinds of things, presented themselves all in the years that were ahead of him. All gloriously revealing God's, I can't read my own handwriting, I suppose I'm my glasses, God's own divine providence in redeeming David
Amen.
From a life of destruction. I don't have time to cover everything in David's life.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, friend, you're looking at one man that believes in a divine providence.
Amen.
Sir, sitting over there, this new man that's here this morning came in here to see us the other day. That gentleman sitting there is asleep. He is not here just to be here. He's here by divine providence.
Amen.
He thinks he just come just to be coming, but he came by the divine providence of God. God brought him here. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. God brought you here.
Amen.
God brought every sinner to a place to be saved by divine providence.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm telling you the providence of God runs all the way through the Bible. And
Amen.
Providence of God simply means the foreknowledge of God. God knew beforehand.
Amen.
And if He didn't, He would not be God. Better believe He knew beforehand. God knows how your life started, and God knows how your life is going to end, and God knows how when your life is going to end, and God knows where your life is going to end. Somebody asked B.R. Lakin one time, said, Dr. Lakin, would you like to know where and how you're going to die? He said, no, I wouldn't want to know that. He said, if I did, he said, I just never would go there. But I'm going to tell you, God knows. From David's early years, all through his life, you see the providence of God. working in him, doing what, Brother Hall? Delivering him from destruction. Delivering his life from destruction by the providence of God. Now, I'm going to take some of you in here this morning to take a good look.
Yes, sir.
At the providence of God in your life. What
Amen.
Brought you here?
Yes, sir.
What brought you to a place to hear the gospel?
Yes.
Then what brought you here? What are you doing here? You didn't just get where you are by accident.
That's right.
There are no accidents with God. Now, I've got news for you. You didn't get here early or late. You got here right on time. I'm talking about every person in this building today. You are here by divine providence. Whatever's happening in your life is happening by divine providence. God allowed it to be there. That he might prove to you that he can deliver your life from destruction.
Amen.
Now stay right with me. Now, somebody said, well, when did he see that providence? Well, see that providence in David's life when he fought his earliest battles.
Amen.
You remember when he had the battle with Goliath? Well, even before that battle took place, while it was raging, David ran into the camp and talked to his brothers, and they sent him down to see Saul. And here's what David said to King Saul, the king of Israel. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lion out of his flock. And I went out after him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard.
Amen.
And I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear.
Amen.
And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living
Amen.
God. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? You realize David was probably under 16 years old when he was this old, when this happened. And there he is guarding his father's sheep. And a lion and a bear. And I don't know, I've tried to figure out what that bear stands for in the Bible. I know that lion probably stands for Satan, the devil. But I've never been able to come up with what that bear stands for. But they come and took a little old sheep out of the flock. And David, being under 16 years old, and I'm going somewhere now, a little ruddy-faced boy, went out after that lion, went out after that bear, grabbed him by the beard. He didn't just grab him and take the lamb out of his mouth. He took the lamb out of his mouth and slew the lion. And he slew the bear under 16 years old. Oh, somebody said, what are you saying, brother? I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. Wouldn't it be glorious to see the providence of God working in the hearts of our young people? In the lives of our young people, giving them some victory over the battles that they ought to be fighting against sin and against the devil and against the world today. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to offend nobody this morning, but I'm about sick of communications.
Amen.
It's done more to destroy than it has anything that I know of. You can't get around a bunch of teenagers today and a whole lot of adults unless they're sitting with a stupid telephone, sitting there. You can try to talk and strike up a conversation, and all they want to do is sit there and poke on numbers on a stupid telephone. Can't even talk to them. That's right. I'm sitting in my house last night, and I picked up my cell phone. Went in where it was plugged up, brought it out in case somebody called. I looked and it said, voicemail. I opened it up, pushed on a little voicemail knob, but it wasn't really, it was a voicemail, but it wasn't a voicemail. A chicken came up on that thing. And it started going, I said, what in heaven's name? Miss Hall got it and she said, well, let's see. She said, who's it from? I said, no idea. She tried to find it, never could find it. So I by the grace of God, I just flipped it open, went up there and down a few things, and lo and behold, there was a number that had come from. And I said, now, who in the world? I scratched my head. I said, I don't know who that is. I said, praise God. One way, I said, curiosity killed the cat. I will find out. And I punched that recall button, and the phone rang. It rang and it rang and it rang. All at once, a voicemail come on. And it, or answering, whatever you want to call it. And it said, you've reached Darrell Hall. And I'm not able to get to the phone right now. If you leave a message, I'll get back with you. And about that time, my phone went to ring. I said, hello? And somebody on the other end of the line said, who is this? I said, it's your cousin you just sent that stupid chicken to. He said, Jerry, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here at the house, and it's quite obvious what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out why you sent me a email of a cackling chicken. You got to know Darrell. But I'm on, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm just saying that I've got more to do than sit around and send a cackling chicken to somebody.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? God help us. I tell you, our young people are like, hey, they've got some battles to fight today, but I'm telling you, I'm afraid the battle and the fight and the war is overcoming them. Hey, and they'd love to see the providence of God working in some of their lives to overcome the battle they've got to fight in their young age, in their youth. It might save their life from destruction. You think it won't? You get to, I mean, you little boys and girls in here get to writing them little emails or whatever they are and them little text messages. And somebody said, how to, well, that won't hurt us. Hey, I'm not. I didn't fall off of my head yesterday off a wagon out here in the parking lot, friend. I was a teenager one time. And I know what little things can lead to. It can lead to big things. Big things can lead to bigger things, and the next thing you know, you're either piled up in the back seat of an automobile or up here at a motel or somewhere,
amen,
and you've committed fornication, and there goes your virginity!
Amen.
Somebody said, well, so what? Everybody's doing it. No, everybody ain't doing it! And God don't want nobody to do it! There's battles as a young person about. There's David, a young boy, just 15 years old, and it's providence of God in his life to fight the battle and win the battle. Somebody said, well, I don't want to sound off color here, but somebody said, well, preacher, man's got to have a woman. Well, David was a man after God's own heart. He made David God his first object in life.
Right.
But he sure did have a lot of wives.
That's right. You're glad.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you put God first, woman will come second.
Amen.
And right woman will come.
That's right.
Or right man will come.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'd love to see some young people. Providence working in their life. Fighting some battles and winning some battles for God's glory. That's right. Now, I won't say secondly. When we, providence of God, we see it working in David's life to save it from destruction. When fear strikes the heart of our brethren. There he is at the battle of the Philistines with David and with Goliath there. And when Israel saw Goliath, the Bible said, when Saul and all Israel heard the words, he defied the armies of God, said, send me out a man and fight with me. The Bible said when they heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And they withdrew themselves, and the Bible said they stood in fear and trembling because of the enemy. Now I'm telling you folks, we've got some Baptists today that are scared to death of the fight. They're afraid of the fight. Fight against false doctrine. Fight against cults. Oh, there's some people saying, now don't call no names.
Come on,
why not?
Amen.
Jesus did.
Right.
Paul did.
Amen.
They all called names.
Amen.
Of false prophets.
That's right.
And cults.
Amen.
Jeremiah, that's right.
Amen.
Are you listening? Hey, don't anybody want to stand for nothing anymore?
Amen.
Don't want to stand for old time religion? We'd rather come, sit on the pew, and get a little entertainment. There won't be no entertainment here while I'm here.
Preach.
I'm going to do my best to preach. I'm not the best, but I do my best.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, there'll be no entertainment. They'll be preaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And saying.
Preach.
And if I can ever. God can ever move on you in my heart. There'll be a little praising going on.
Yeah.
And like the man of God said in Sunday school this morning, there'll be a little praying going on. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, if you're going to build a family life center, no, I don't want no family life center. This is the family life center right here.
Amen.
I don't want to build another one.
Amen.
Amen. See what getting out in the world do? That kid's got a black eye from it. What bothers me, she's with her mother.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? They all were afraid. They all were afraid. But little old David come to the forefront. And he said, is there not a cause? He ran down to that creek, and I'm eliminating some of it. I got to say this. When I said I'm eliminating some of it, I got to say this. Brother Stotts called me yesterday, talking to me. And his nephew, his wife's nephew died, Timmy Reese, 48 or 49 years old. And Todd Bolton over there preached his funeral. Of course, Todd's Bill's son-in-law. And you got to know Bill. He just talks and rambles and goes on. Just on and on. And he said, Brother Gary, he said, I'm telling you, said he'd have been proud of Todd. He said, I was so proud of him. He said, people was coming to him talking about how good a job he done. He said, I'm telling you, you would have been proud of the way he deducted himself in that funeral. Deducted himself? Okay. I don't think that's really what we wanted him to do, was deduct himself. But. Now, where was I at? Huh? David picked up them little five smooth stones. Said, is there not a cause? Ran to that creek bed and picked up them little five smooth stones. And there was a man that was twice his size. A man of war from his youth and David's buddy youth.
Right.
And there's all of Israel, including Saul, that stood a head and shoulders above all of them, standing back on another hill, scared to death to go into the battle, boy. That's where we're at today. That's just sitting back, laid back, afraid of the battle. But little old David took that sling and said, bless God, this uncircumcised Philistine going to be like that lion and like that bear. And he let her go.
Amen.
The Bible said that stone sunk into his forehead and he dropped on his stomach. Isn't that the way? Hey, God will always, when God slays enemies in our life, they always fall face first.
Amen.
They can't look up at you. David run and took Goliath's own sword and cut his stinking head off with it. That's right. Everybody else full of fear. And yet the providence of God.
Amen.
How easily it would have been for that had it not been for the providence of God. We all know, come on now. That logically speaking, David was no match for Goliath. Logically speaking. Somebody said, what happened? The providence of God. The power of God.
Amen.
And by the way, Can I say this to you? Many of you may not even realize this. Here he is now about 16 years old, and he has already been anointed king of Israel.
Amen.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
Already anointed. And the thing of it was, I believe he knew it. He knew it, friend. 16 years old, God already showed him it, his life. And the providence of God carried it from a young boy all the way down to the end of the line. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he died an old man, drawed himself up in the bed and died. Hallelujah to God. Full of years. Woo!
Amen.
And providence spared him many a times. I mean, there's a number of times. Providence will deliver us when our foes pursue us wrongfully. There's David and Saul. They came in from that battle with the Philistines. And them women went out to meet him and they cried, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is tens of thousands.
Amen.
Oh, Saul got madder than a wet hornet. He found his opportunity and he had that javelin he always carried. Reared it back and throwed it at little David. David just went, providence. Three times Saul tried to kill him. And three times God divinely protected him.
Amen.
Oh, that leads me to this. We ain't going, if you listen, pardon my expression, we ain't going anywhere until God is done with us in this life. We're immortal until God is done with us in this life. We're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. And there's old Saul pursuing after him. And David makes this statement. He said, but truly, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death.
Amen.
And there's Saul hot on his heels. And David knew it. But time and time again, in the cave and in the rocks and at Keilah and at what city did Amalekites destroy? Maybe it might have been Keilah. Time and time again, God, through providence, delivered Saul, David. David even rode with the Philistines that he had killed and warred with and went out to fight Israel. And by divine providence, those other lords of the Philistines said, don't send him! Providence entered in. David just turned around, took his men and went back. What providence? Can you see that? Can you see the providence of God working in your life today?
Amen.
I'm telling you, some of you ought to be jumping. Somebody said, well, I got a pretty sorry wife. Could be worse.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you've got a pretty sorry husband. Could be worse.
Amen.
Providence may have kept you from marrying a floozy.
Amen.
Ain't no maybe about it. No, it did. Are you listening now? I think you. I think we're about to get listening. Hey. Providence will deliver your life from destruction when your family suddenly becomes your enemy. How many of us in here at one time or another has our church family become our enemy?
Amen.
Those that we've loved and those we've prayed with, but yet they have become our enemy.
Amen.
How many of us in here has our own families that we've loved, amen, for years become our enemy?
Amen.
Somebody said, God, preacher, God don't work that way. You better look back at David's life. He's an old man now, and all at once news comes in and said, hey, David, guess what? Said, Absalom's sitting out there at the gate and said, he's stealing the hearts of all Israel.
Amen.
Another one come running in and said, David, hey, we got to do something quick. The conspiracy increases.
Amen.
And it's getting stronger every day. There's a conspiracy against you. And guess what, David? Your own boy. Your own son is leading that conspiracy.
And David and 600 men leave Jerusalem. 600. 600 men. They go up over the hill, and there's the man, the great man of God, with his head covered, his shoes off, barefoot on a donkey, weeping before God. Being driven from Jerusalem by his own son. And you know how the story goes. He gave orders for that boy not to be harmed, but at Joab, against the orders of David, found that boy hanging in a tree by the locks of his hair and running through with javelins and darts, the Bible calls. And David wept, and David wept, and David wept. But I'm here to tell you, hey, all Israel went out to battle with them.
Amen.
Against 600 men, all Israel went out to war against them. Do you think the providence of God wasn't in that? I'm telling you, friend, as a child of God, God saved your life from destruction. And all hell and all the imps of hell cannot stop you and stop the work of God going on in your life.
Amen.
Can't do it. And the Bible said that the trees, they were fighting and killed more people that day than were killed with a sword. David rode back into Jerusalem once again with a broken heart, no doubt, but still king of Israel.
Amen.
Through providence.
Yeah.
How easy would it have been? Oh, how God worked it out to keep one of David's mighty men there, one of his counselors. Ahithophel, his counselor, had turned against him, but David left Hushai there as well. Hushai told Solomon, said, David asked him, said, Solomon asked him, said, what are you doing here? Said, your Lord's out there. And he said, no, but said, whosoever God makes king of Israel is who I'm going to serve. And all the time, God is setting up through divine providence a way to get a message out to David.
Amen.
How many times, some of you in here have no idea, but how many times as a pastor has there been an uprising against a man of God and providence?
Amen.
Providence!
Amen.
Save that man. You ain't gonna. I'm gonna tell it. I'm gonna tell it. I hope it don't make nobody mad. But if it does, I ain't get glad. But years and years ago, there was a conspiracy against me, and I didn't even realize it in this church to get rid of me. And at the time, I didn't even know really much of it was going on. And I'd been out with a certain fella to look at a Bible college, to think about starting a Bible college in this church. And the only reason he took me out there was to get me away from this place so people in this church could have a meeting and set up a meeting to throw me out.
Amen.
And they met on that Friday night to throw me out. It just so happened by coincidence that the next morning, on Saturday morning, that Brother Herbert Williamson called Brother Gene Mathias the next day. Said, Brother Mathias said they had a meeting last night and they're going to run Brother Hall off. Well, lo and behold, would you believe that Gene Reisner and Bill Nolan was there at Brother Mathias' eating supper with him that night?
Amen.
And Brother Nolan called me the next morning. Said, Preacher, they had a meeting last night to run you off. And he told me who had called, and I called Brother Herbert. And we went to meet somebody, and since then, that person's got things worked out. But that conspiracy, they had to go. But through the providence of God, if I hadn't known about that, What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying so many times, if people had reared up against me, had bound themselves together, I'd have been gone. But I'm telling you, providence!
Amen.
No, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying so many times that the devil and his little emissaries, so many times that we've been where we ought not to be, and that they could have destroyed us if we wasn't careful. But God
God, through providence, delivered us and saved our life from destruction.
Thank God for divine providence. Amen. I think this is the last point. I might have said amen. I don't even know what time it is. I've preached a long time. Then what about the providence when in our old age we faint in the battle? I've thought about that here lately. Philistines. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 21, moreover, the Philistines had yet war with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint, carrying that sword in his arm, began to get tired. He was an old man now. The battles that he used to fight, physically he couldn't fight no more. It was time for him to give up some of those battles. And his arm got tired welding that sword, fighting him Philistine. Got tired swinging that sword. Got tired in the battle swinging that sword. And the Bible goes on to say, and Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Had a new sword. He said, I'm going to get him with this new one. In other words, he said, if I can spiritualize that, he said, I've got something this fella ain't never seen. That's what they say that's fighting you. I've got a trick he ain't never seen. I've got news for you. Every trick that the devil's got, praise God, God's already seen it in His providence. God said that's why He can guard us in His providence. He's already seen every trick and knows every trick the devil's got up his sleeve. And the Bible said that Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Well, you reckon Abishai was there just a chance? Providence of God. There's the old man of God welding that sword, and his arm begins to drop. Just tardy. This big giant who had a crow to pick with David. David had killed his daddy. Had a new sword, and he said, I'm going to get him. But a man by the name of Abishai stepped in. Here's what he said. He said, so I'm living in his mind. He said, if you get him, you're going to have to come through me to do it. Abishai killed him.
Amen.
Suckered David. And they turned and looked at David and said, you've fought your last battle. David said, oh, no, I can't do that. They said, we won't hear it. We'll not let the light of Israel be quenched. You're not going out anymore. What are you saying, Brother Hall? Well, one thing I'm saying is, I hope to God, when I get faint, that I've got an Abishai around.
Amen.
It'll stand between me and Ishbi-benob.
Amen.
And succor me a little bit.
Amen.
I hope the providence of God will let somebody stand with me when I grow old. Somebody said, what do you mean when you grow old? That's what I said, when I grow old.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. When you grow old and you grow faint from fighting the battles, I promise you, if you walk with God, God will have an Abishai that will walk along by your side to succor you and protect you and help you to be a blessing to you. And I hope you've got enough sense to realize it. There's a whole lot of men got an Abishai and ain't got enough sense to realize they've got one. providence. Providence, friend. God, through providence, will save your life
Amen.
From destruction. Let's stand together.